podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay.
And so it's match day. We're at the Sylvan Post, our regular haunt. Pre-match for Palace.
Marvellous.
It's a big one today, Wedge, isn't it? It's a big one. Are we going to thrash them? We keep saying, oh, we're better than they are. We could thrash them. Could this be the day? Or is it going to be another unremarkable one-all draw?
I really do hope it is the day, because on the Nokki glory day, I missed that one.
Oh, did you?
And I just never ever want to miss another one. I hope it is, but they're kind of unpredictable, these events. If you start off well, you get into the game and you can impose yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can win it. But I've been going to these since 1975. I'm coming up 50 years doing these. I honestly don't know what to expect, but the atmosphere is cracking.
Yeah, it's going to be a classic as usual in terms of the atmosphere. Hopefully it'll be more than that. Hopefully it'll be a classic on the pitch with a favourable outcome.
Well, I've been in a restaurant and pub in Forest Hill since 2 o'clock this afternoon and there have been blue lights and police and ambulances going past since 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so you know.
And this is 5:15 now, folks.
This is 5:15, yeah. So still another 2.75 hours to go. But you know it's happening. You can feel it in the atmosphere.
You feel it in your bones. We did the preview pod with my Palace mate yesterday. It was good. He was saying, you know, all the stuff around it is great, but once you start thinking about the match, you're just strangled with nerves.
It's a must-not-lose game,
isn't it?
For a true dying in the world, in your DNA fan, it's actually quite a frightening evening, because there's so much pent up energy that you know you want to throw out if we do it.
And if you get a moment such as the opposition score and they get their tails up and they've got that noise going, and it feels like the world's caving in, doesn't it? Let's hope that doesn't happen tonight. But if it does happen, you have to remember, it's very hard to remember, hang on, this is just one moment in the game. We ride it out for 3 minutes, then we move into a new phase, and who knows what happens. But at the time, it feels horrendous, doesn't
it? We've conceded whatever it is, I don't know, 21 games in a row or something.
21 in a row.
And we might concede first tonight, but the difference in an occasion like this is we've got 2,000 in there who will give it absolutely everything to raise our team. So
it's top tier loyalty points.
Kind of convinced this is yet another both teams to score game, and I do think that first team to score is going to be a big influence on how it pans out.
Yeah,
if it's us, please God, then we can impose our game. They're carrying loads of injuries in the same way that we are.
Yeah, they've got eight
people
out.
They've lost some of
their
midfield power. You know, if we can get our noses in front here, it could be a massive evening.
You weren't coming to the game, but you are coming to the game. I never know with you what shenanigans are afoot. You're big on the wind-ups, and you may have had a ticket all along, for all I know. But you're claiming at 5:15, a few minutes ago, you got a ticket.
Correct.
And you had been planning just to come along for the social and then to head off, which
Correct.
Does sound a bit suspect, but it is the kind of thing you would do, to be fair.
It is.
Is it true that you genuinely did get a ticket on the day?
Yes.
And you're saying that with a straight face?
Yes. Yeah, I live about a half-hour drive away from Bedford, so my plan was to come and join all of the Noisy Boys and the Brighton Rock Podcast Boys down in the Sylvan Post in Forest Hill and disappear at 5:30 so I could get the train back home and drive home and get in my house at 5 to 8 and watch it on Sky TV.
Yeah.
But I hoovered a ticket and I'm going to the game. I probably won't get home until 2:30, 2:45.
But you're retired, it's all right, isn't
it? I'm retired, yeah. I couldn't give a shit.
Wake up at midday and then watch it.
And the wherewithal as an old man to get in there, and it's a very strange feeling, but I'm in.
Yeah, there's a lot of cackling and giggling and mention of my name in the background. I'm wondering what's going on over there. I wonder what's going on. Ian, let's come to you then. Here we go, pre-match.
Someone's just walked into the pub and knows Julian.
Yeah. But he didn't acknowledge you, so I'm not sure if he knows you, which is, must be an unusual.
Somebody who doesn't know Russell.
Exactly.
Not possible.
Exactly.
No, it does happen occasionally.
I've never known it. Personally, never known it. Yes, once again in the Sylvan Post. Very nice pub, very nice beer. Yeah. Absolutely lovely food. So, tonight,
what's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Well, there's one thing that I've never seen at Selhurst Park.
A win.
A thrashing of Palace.
A win.
You've never seen us win at Selhurst
Park? Never seen us win at Selhurst Park.
Fuck off. Get on the train now and go back to Portsmouth.
Every time we win here, I'm always at work.
Yeah. Tonight is the night, Ian.
It's got to be one night. Chips. It's got to be one night. It will happen one day. One day it will happen. And this is it's Christmas. It's a time for giving.
So you've never seen us win at Selhurst. There's got to be a first time for everything, though, Ian, hasn't it?
There was a first time for the birth of our Lord, you know. So with his Virgin Mother, not in Croydon, obviously, but you know.
Happy birthday for Monday, Jesus.
Yes, happy birthday. And never was a virgin found in Croydon. So. Nor three wise men.
And on that note, we move to... Yeah, I mean, today's game, I mean, it's got to happen sooner or later. I've got my fairly unlucky Big Balls T-shirt on. I've got my fairly unlucky Mark Lips flag with me. You've never seen us win here. All of these things, it's a deliberate thing. This is going to be the day. It's got to change.
Luck's got to change. Luck does change, and it will do. One day, I will see Brighton win at Selhurst Park. I've seen them win plenty of times. Goldstone, Amex, but never at Selhurst.
Bloody hell, you've missed some classic games then, basically.
I have missed some classic games. I've either been at work... Jonah. Listen to them on the radio, or you know, yeah. I am not a bad fan, but you know, I just choose the wrong ones to go to.
You picked and choose wrongly, yeah. But all these runs come to an end. 32 games in a row we'd scored in. That finished with the Arsenal match. We are still on a run of what is it? 21 games conceding in a row.
Yeah.
Courtney, you've got a stat for us, haven't you?
Oh, I do have a stat. In only one game outside of Thursdays this season have we kept a clean sheet, but in Thursdays we've kept four. So that's got to be a great omen for the season.
Oh, stats.
Palace just aren't used to it.
Stats exactly. Of the season.
And when you play your first game on a Thursday, as Palace are doing tonight,
you just lose. We've learned from that earlier in the season.
We know how to do Thursdays.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the closest they're going to get to Europe, of course, playing on a Thursday.
Playing a European team.
Yeah. And
basically, they're about 55 miles from Dover, and then another 21 miles from Calais. Yeah. So they are 76 miles away from Europe, and they always will be because they're shit.
And we shall be putting this on a loop after we've lost tonight.
76 miles is the closest they will ever get to you.
Unless they go on holiday in their spare time, which is a entirely different matter. Yeah. Anyway, we move on to today's game. Looking forward to it. So hang on, just one moment. On that stat, Courtney. Come on, you've got to say it now.
No, the stat might just be slightly wrong. We haven't kept a clean sheet outside of a Thursday this season, so it's a good omen we're playing on a Thursday
night. Oh, yeah, exactly.
In fact, the stat's even better now.
Yeah.
Because exactly. I've realised we never keep a clean sheet outside of Europe.
There we go. That's perfect. Suits me. Andy, quick words.
Well, he's just talking about clean sheets.
He is.
Only keep them on a Thursday.
Is that washing day?
Why not? We've got to keep one day, haven't we?
Yeah. Boy, the Premier League.
In the Premier League, you know, we're approaching the halfway point of the season.
Yeah.
Today, with a couple of goals in the first half, take the piss out of them in the second half.
This is the beery bravado talk that I like to hear pre-match. Duncan, would you go along with that? Are we going to be 2-0 up at half time? Is this going to be that day when we finally do batter them?
No.
Of course not. It never is it?
No. You can't predict these things. These derbies are completely out the window. There's been a lot of draws recently. But I think historically we've always talked about we're due to avenge the 5-0 that I endured with Tim back in the day.
We are still pining to get revenge for that. That's what we're talking about here, isn't it? That's been nagging us for whatever it is, 25 years nearly. Yeah.
No, 100%. And that'd be so sweet, but really, I don't think so.
As you said, you can never predict football in general. I always get the score wrong, but this is the worst of all for trying predicting. It just absolutely cannot say. So I'll come up with my traditional wrong prediction. I've given up on trying to get it right, so I'm going to say it'll be a 6-6 draw, because what the hell, it's not going to be right anyway, so I might as well get it spectacularly wrong. Anyway, there we go. Any further words ahead of the game, Duncan? He's sighing.
Yeah, I know.
I'll say something. Somebody said somewhere that we're going to play a back three tonight, and I can kind of see it. Van Hecker, Dunk, an Eagle. And then kind of pat the midfield with Gross and Belieber and Gilmore and Hinchinworth.
That might be a good way to go, because we have played a 4, changing to a 3 in possession, haven't we, in some recent games. But the actual thing you're talking about, staying with a 4 with a pat midfield, might be the way to go in this. It always feels like a tight ground. It's quite a small, feels like it's a small pitch. I don't know if it's an optical illusion because of the closeness of the stands. But it always feels like there's not much space to Selhurst.
Well, the pitch feels small from their stand because there's fucking great big posts in the way. So you can only see a bit of it.
Are you suggesting it's a shithole with awful sight lines? It is, but they're going to polish the turd by having a spanking new stand on one side for some reason, which won't help any of the normal supporters. Anyway, we'll rant about that another time. We move on. We'll get a bit of audio during the match with you guys, but it sounds like you're full of apprehension and uncertainty about tonight.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things.
And hope killing him.
Indeed. If you set your sights low, then anything above that is a bonus, and I'll be really happy. So that's it.
Well, I'm going to be disappointed if I don't get that 6-6 draw.
Who's going for a 6-6 draw?
I am. I always get it wrong, so I might as well go with that. So as we continue our build-up to the game, we're still in this Sylvan Post. We're still drinking loads of beers. And I'm with my good friend Julian Rowlands, who's been on before a couple of times. You are of this parish, or you have been.
I am, sort of, aren't you?
Yes. Tell us whereabouts.
We're in pub in Forest Hill, which is my manor. Have been here since 1991.
Just so, in this pub?
No. I've never been in this pub before. Actually.
What? Really?
Yeah. Oh. It is. In fact, I believe it's the old post office, and I do remember it when it was the post office. Yeah. So does that give me extra points?
You still post your letters over here. They've got those big slots, you know, those major.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think your post will is going to arrive at Granny's doorstep if you post it today, though.
No,
not in here.
It is nice to be in a pub which is 15 minutes walk from where I live, so that is very nice.
Absolutely. Tell us about your Albion background. I'm not sure if you did before, just quickly go through that again.
I've been supporting the Albion since 1977. My first match was in 1977. I've been following them for about a year before that. First match Tranmere at home in March 1977. Been following them ever since, and you know what a time, you know what a time it is now, and what a time I've had over those 45 years.
It's been incredible, isn't it?
Years.
Yeah, particularly recently.
Yeah,
we were talking off air earlier about the European trips. You ended up doing what I did. You've just been to the middle one, the Ajax game so far.
Yes.
But you were saying, and I feel the same. Almost a bit of a shame we didn't do the other ones. Hearing good stories about them, particularly Athens.
Yes, absolutely, and I think that sort of maybe there was a little bit of project fear and everything about the build-up to those games. And, you know, I think from what I've heard, everybody who went had a great time, and probably I would have had as well. So, and certainly Amsterdam was so amazing, but it's given me a taste that I would like to repeat.
Well, we've got to keep our powder dry for the last 16, the quarters, the semis, and, of course, Dublin in the final.
Absolutely, yes. it is suddenly thinking about my leave entitlement and what I can do.
This is the thing, isn't it? If we'd have gone into the playoff round, there's another trip that might be a once-in-a-lifetime chance to go to wherever that might have been.
Yes, yeah.
And we've avoided that. We've had that taken out of our hands.
Yes.
Which is probably a good thing from a budgetary and a leave allowance point of view.
Exactly,
and also, obviously, for a tiredness of players' point of view.
Yes,
So we're delighted to get into that stage. So we've got till March. The main thing is we didn't get knocked out of the groups, because then Palace might have taken the piss out of us a little bit.
Well,
they can't
do
that now.
They would have done, and we were certainly staring into the abyss at half-time at Marseille. I think that, it really did look like the group of death on paper when it was drawn, and to go through and win it is, amazing. I think, in fact, I don't think we talk enough about how good that it is that we did that.
Absolutely.
It's sort of the... I guess ultimately it's a reflection of the strength of the Premier League. Yeah. I'm absolutely amazed that we to go to Athens and to Amsterdam and win is astonishing, really. And to draw in Marseille, well, unbeaten away from home in those three games.
And as we were just saying, clean sheets on a Thursday, quite a few of those.
Yeah.
Doing the double over Ajax is obviously brilliant. But also getting the win in Athens after they beat us is good, because it could have ended up being a bogey team. They gave us a good game in both matches.
They certainly did. I mean, they were very, very. I mean, it was the sort of game you didn't particularly enjoy watching.
No,
yeah.
But we got through it.
I mean, I just think, probably, in terms of experiences, you can't get much worse watching Albion. It was one of the more torturous experiences watching the Albion, wasn't it?
Then we beat Marseille. We were at that game as well, the home game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They did all three home.
What an atmosphere that was.
Yes, it was. It was one of the great Amex nights, wasn't it?
Well, talking of that, greatest moments, greatest nights, greatest games, greatest players. What are they for you? And how many of them are in the current team?
Oh, if whenever I'm asked this, I would. I was very fortunate to be around for the FA Cup run in 83, and especially fortunate to go to Anfield in the fifth round, and to see us win at Anfield,
which was the dominant team in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, we gave ourselves no chance at all, and that was why it was so special.
Yeah,
and I will probably.
That was like Sheffield United winning at Man City this season, wasn't it? Pretty much.
Well, I'm not sure what it would be equivalent of, but it was so unlikely.
Yeah,
but to win that was just and everything about that experience, about it was a Sunday afternoon, really difficult journey to get there, not the fast trains that you get now around Houston. Really amazing experience, and in fact after that I never went back to Anfield until we'd been in the Premier League. So it was sort of really interesting to go back there, because I'd never had the opportunity to go back. Yeah,
and here we are in the Premier League, having gone on an odyssey. This is our seventh year. We're looking very much a part of the furniture now in the Premier League, in a good way. And at the heart of that, but also predating it, is Lewis Dunk. He's been with the club about 20 years, including all the youth years. He's done over 10 years with us in the seniors. He is the club man, the Brighton-born guy, the captain. It's this kind of occasion, isn't it, tonight, Palace?
Oh, absolutely. We just love the fact that he gets it.
And Palace hates him. That's perfect.
We know he gets it, because he's been sent off at least twice. twice here, you know. Maybe more. But I've certainly been here when he's been sent off twice. Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't.
And he's one, also
one was the was during the lockdowns.
But oh, that's
the,
true. Yeah.
Yeah, but the yeah, no, I've a very young Lewis Dunk being sent off when we lost 5-0.
Yeah.
And I mean, he definitely gets it, and we need players like that, you know. There's not that many of them around now, and I think, but it's what I find astonishing is that there are less and less supporters who get it as well.
Running the whole length of the Arthur Waite when Lockhart scored that winner at the end of the game was brilliant.
Yeah, you know, that's sort of the, you know,
he's the figure they love to hate.
Yeah,
just as Wilf Zaha was a figure of hate for us.
I think that everybody needs, you know, it's pantomime stuff, of course,
and it's Christmas,
but it's But it's sort of, but every, you know, black needs white, you know, it's sort of the, you know, it's sort of that, isn't it? You know, you have to have, you know, you have to have good, you have to have good and bad, and that's what it's all about. And it's just a bit of fun, I hope.
Yes.
But I know you've
had experiences where it's got a bit nasty.
Oh, absolutely, yes, I have.
And, nothing violent, thankfully, but not far off it.
I mean, things are different now, you know, to be fair. I mean, that was a while ago, but it's sort of there's always that there. Yeah, true.
The anticipation and the nerves are all building now, aren't they?
Exactly.
This is a game, as we've said on the preview pod yesterday with our Palace mate Toby. He said, it's just a game you cannot lose.
Yes.
No one's saying, we got to win this.
Yeah.
It's a game you cannot lose.
Exactly.
And it's,
you know, 99 times out of 100, it's a miserable experience coming to these games. But on the one occasion in 100 where you win, then it is amazing. And you put up with all the misery for that that one occasion where you get the win. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Julian, it's great chatting to you as always.
Thank you.
Let's hope for a great result, a favourable outcome. Have a great Christmas, and I don't see you after the game.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on again.
Excellent. No problem at all. Cheers.
Always a pleasure.
Fantastic. Yeah. Cheers. Yeah. Cheers, Julian.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, final segment of our pre-match is with two debutants on the podcast. Now, we've got Stefan with us. Now, Stefan, I've known you for years. I walked up to the Widdean on a number of occasions, right by the bridge, and I had a conversation with you pretty much every time. You were selling the Seagulls Love Review, I believe, at the time. It became a bit of my cult, tradition, my match day ritual, was to see you and have a quick chat on the way in. We didn't know each other as such, but since then, things have moved on. It turns out the friend of the show, Andy Bravery, has a connection with you. He used to babysit you, didn't he, or something like that?
He did. Yeah. He's also, Andy Bravery is one of the few people that I know that scored an FA Cup goal as well.
Yeah.
It was one of the preliminary rounds.
Southwick or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah, he's told us that.
Yeah. That's his big one,
He's already bragged that one out, yeah. So, Stefan, what's your surname? I don't know your surname.
It's Swift.
So, of course it is. Yeah. I did know that, yeah. Stefan Swift. Great name, by the way. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but one time, I'm a driving instructor. I was being driven around in London. I was on the corner of a road near Clissold Park, and you were standing on the edge of the road. And I didn't have time to toot you because I wasn't driving or anything. I thought, what the hell? He's everywhere. He's absolutely everywhere. People say that about me as well. So, just seeing him in the street in London, obviously. Yeah. Why would that not happen? Yeah. I think we did have this conversation. I remember you were waiting for a mate to meet you or something. Anyway, whereabouts are you? Are you in Brighton? London?
I live in Greenwich.
Greenwich? Not too far from here.
Local game for me. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, that's good. And obviously, home and away fan, Arden fan, many years. Tell us quickly about the fanzine. What happened with that? Is it still going on?
So Seagull Overview ended in 2014, but I've written for every issue of Dogma. Subscribe to Dogma. Very, very good fanzine.
It is. I love Dogma. We love the Dogma boys.
Fanzine of the year, or something that Seagull Overview failed to win, so it's fine. A little bit bitter about that, but it's fine.
But you're part of the victory now.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm an award-winning writer, right?
Absolutely, there we go. And yeah, the Dogma boys are just in front of us at Arsenal, actually, right in front. We know them well. We have Ben Rich and James, isn't it? The main guys.
Lovely chaps, yeah.
They're lovely guys.
Love them to
death. Yeah, so great chat about that. Seagull's Love Review, I really enjoyed it. It was good. I think it's
immortalised in the museum at the Amex.
That's
all I need.
That's better than all I've got.
You can't really
put a podcast in a museum, can you? Anyway.
Well, I don't know. Tim Carter will find a way.
Yeah, we love Tim. Anyway, yes, and with you, we've got your cousin, Alex. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Arden fan as well. Are you home and away? Lots of games?
Yeah, home and away. Been to all three European away games.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm Stefan's cousin. My dad actually met Julian, who was just on your podcast, while he was at university. Julian was in Coventry. Dad was at Warwick. That's how they met. And started following the... Well, they were both following the Albion and went to away games together then. So that's how I know Julian quite well. That's how Stefan knows Julian. I grew up in Lewes and had a season ticket since I was 11. What a golden era to grow up in for me. I'm now 24, live in Peckham, just around the corner from here. Good, nice local game, like Steph said. Local game for me as well. Looking forward to tonight.
Brilliant. And cousins together in London, that's superb. You meet up the socials and travel for games, yeah.
Yeah.
And
not rounds though, apparently.
Yeah, you went to the toilet and your cousin bought rounds for him and Julian while you were in the loo. That is absolutely outrageous.
It's fine.
I mean, Stefan could have bought a beer for me when I was about three.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll take.
All right, fair enough. And you said, looking forward to the game tonight, as you said there, massive, massive game, as always. Did a preview with a Palace fan last night in Lambeth. Yeah, I'll get about, drinking beers and talking crap. And he said, this game is just a must-not-lose game, isn't it? I think that's how you feel with these rivalries, derbies, whatever the equivalents are up and down the country. It is that, isn't it, really?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a bit gross, but like basically getting out of it with a point would be lovely.
Yeah.
But I still feel like we owe them for the playoff semi.
Yeah.
Still to a point, the 5-0. We haven't done a like really, really good one.
Yeah.
Was it the 3-something at the Amex?
We've had a 3-0 and a 3-1.
David Lopez free kick. That was good, yeah. But I do feel like we need to shell them.
Yeah.
And I do feel like we're due a shelling of someone.
Absolutely.
We do seem to...
administering of a shelling, that is, just
to
clarify.
Not to take a shelling.
Yeah.
Equally, I'd take a 1-0.
But yeah, exactly. And that's the thing with these sort of games.
Rarely does the right result manifest itself in these games. That's the problem, isn't it?
And I think as soon as we lost to Arsenal on Sunday, I thought, do you know what? You don't want to go into a Palace game having won the game before.
Exactly. So especially a game like that.
You just sort of work it to how you feel.
I was thinking, beat Marseille, lose to Arsenal, beat Palace. I've had that in my head all week since the Marseille game is coming up. And it feels like that's fitting nicely in. We've still got to get the job done today, though. As you said, any result will be good. But I like you, I've still got this nagging thing about, particularly the 5-0. We haven't got revenge for that. Because nothing will be that, apart from a 5 or better nil score.
And really, it was 6 as well, wasn't it? Because Johnson had one ruled out.
Oh, yeah.
And they did the whole celebration as well. So I feel like until we really avenge that, we're not really there.
Seven.
Even if they get the
1-7-1
will do.
Even if you take the rivalry out, we really need a win, don't we, in the league? We've had, what is it, 2 wins and 10 or something crazy?
I feel like we could do with a win. We could also do with Palace not winning, because they're in that sort of nice little zone. Where just above the rally, aren't they?
Yeah, looking over the shoulders.
So, yeah, just desperate for a win.
Equally, the league, I'm not too bothered about this season. It's all for me, Europa League.
Yeah.
FA Cup, we've got to focus on that hard. I want a piece of silverware this season.
Yeah, and again, going back to the rivalry, neither of us have had major silverware. Yeah. neither of us have, unless you count the Charity Shield in 1910, but it's kind of a
testament.
Well,
it depends who I'm talking to, sometimes I do, yeah.
But in essence, neither of us have really won a major tournament, and a major trophy, sorry. And it would be great if we could beat them to that, because that's the thing that once it's done. I was with my Arsenal supporting mates, including Matthew. I watched the Champions League final when Chelsea won. I cannot describe how fucked off he was that Chelsea became the first London team to win the Champions League. Those things are indelibly set in stone once they happen. So for us to, I'm not asking for much, win the Europa League or the FA Cup and finish above Palace in a comfortable mid-table position.
I feel like
that would do.
Finish above Palace is always the aim, isn't it? And
yeah.
For so many years,
I would FA Cup and finish below Palace.
Well, yeah. Because they won't care about finishing above us, knowing we won a cup.
I feel like all my life, like, I just wanted to finish above Palace. So.
Well, this is the thing. I'm calling it St Nigel's Day. In essence, to the Arsenal Spurs and Tottenham Day thing. So Nigel's Day is the day we guarantee finishing above them. I think this could be an annual event, starting from a couple of years ago.
Hopefully we can do everything. We can win the FA Cup, Europa League.
Brilliant.
And finish top four, who knows?
Let's see.
Let's hope so. But going deep into the European tournament, going well in the FA Cup, preferably winning one of them, and finishing above Palace would do for me. Top half finish, I'll be happy with that. And then next season, maybe Europe again. Who knows?
If we finish 16th and Palace finish 17th, I'll be happy.
Yeah. Boys, it's been great chatting. Stefan, Alex, pleasure chatting to you. Thanks for coming on the podcast for the first time. See you later on. Cheers. Well, Andy, right, so we're walking up to the ground.
We are.
We've been kettled.
Well, we're kind of not walking up to the ground.
We're not walking up to the ground, but I think we might get in late. It's quite funny because there's a load of cartoon characters have turned up wearing hoods and Burberry scarves. It's almost like you could tailor this, isn't it? It's ridiculous. Load of beef going on. Nothing's actually happened. There's the police are between us. And it's actually quite funny. It's quite funny.
Right.
It's silly, maybe. Pathetic might be another word. But here we are.
Here we are. The main thing is, are they going to hold the game up? Maybe, maybe not.
Well, they would for them, but they wouldn't for us.
No, not for us. And I'll tell you what, every time I come here, it's Three Little Birds is being played in the away end area near the bar. I think we're going to miss out on that. I feel gutted. Honestly, there's some real cliches walking around here tonight, aren't there? So Ian, so we missed the first 6 minutes due to the kettling.
Lovely kettle.
An absolute
it was a
chaos.
Beautiful kettle. I've never been to kettle so well in all my life.
But here we are, 0-0. We're out singing them as usual. Who knew? And we got this song, which I love.
Eric Cantona, ooh-ah. Eric Cantona, ooh-ah. Eric Cantona, ooh-ah. Eric Cantona, ooh-ah. Eric Cantona, ooh-ah.
And it looks an even game in completion of my sentence.
Yeah. We're pressing high again. They're sitting back. Trouble is, it's unusual. They're coming off a draw against Man City, which is totally undeserved.
Well, exactly, yeah.
He knows exactly what we need. Dougie at the back, Fergie in attack. Wright's going to win Europa League.
You'll see the Palace in the dam. Have you ever seen the Palace in the dam? Have you ever seen the Palace? Ever seen the Palace? Ever seen the Palace in the dam?
Have you? What?
That's the one I've been most looking forward to. Sellers Park is falling down. Fortune is a fucking clown. That's a good point, mate. That is a good point. Oxen is a fucking clown.
Paris, Spain, Temple.
Oh, yes.
Brighton boys are on the piss.
Sellers Park is falling down.
Oxen
is a fucking clown.
Paris, Spain, Temple.
Yes.
Brighton boys are on the piss.
And we're on the attack as well. Oh. That's a good ball, to be fair. But dealt with by the good guys.
Looks a bit offside.
Ian, the fella behind me, has just made the point that Selhurst Park is not falling down. It's already fallen down. He's made a good point, haven't you, sir? What do you think about Selhurst Park? It's a shit hole, isn't it? It's it's absolute shambles, isn't it?
It's shite in the
70s,
it's still shite.
Yeah. The Brighton Saints, the Palace run away again, and we will fight forevermore because of Boxing Day. Hark now, hear the Brighton Saints, the Palace run away again, and we will fight forevermore because of Boxing Day.
Half time, the Scum are winning 1-0 with one of their only chances against a run of play, but we haven't threatened enough, have we, though?
No, it's been poor. We've had all of the ball, but just not creating from it. One good effort from Gross that the keeper nearly scuffled, but we're not finding that out ball. It's too much of the same and missing opportunities to ping it over the top when they're pressing hard, and it's paid its cost.
Yeah, and one of the most foul players, apparently, in the Premier League, Ayew, got the goal. He was given too much space there, and we gave him too much space on the wing, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a case of being caught off guard and a poor ball out by Verbruggen. He knows he's made a mistake there, and one cross in, everyone's already 5 yards behind the play. It's probably the easiest header he'll score in his life.
And Corny, you said that just before that there was a chance for us to go on a counter, and we should have done more with it.
Completely missed it. Just coming out of play on the left wing, and Klein nearly committed, decided to drop a little bit, but Igor had an out ball to Matoma, and Matoma had no one near him and was 10 yards inside his own half. Could have been clear on the wing or on goal with one ball, but it just, that reluctance to look up, play long, and instead we'll go, right, let's go round again. Sometimes we need to think, how can we do this quicker?
Yeah, they say football's all about moments, and it's making it count in those key moments. The spur of the moment, thinking on your feet in that key seconds. We need to do better with that in the second half, don't we?
Definitely. It's missing opportunities here.
Andy, any thoughts on the game as well so far at half time?
No, not really. Dull, followed by huge irritation. But about the only thing I can see at the moment is that Welbeck seems to be given an extended run out.
Yeah.
Wonder if he's coming on at half time.
The warm up.
We need to spark a bit of life into this game, effectively. Because we didn't.
The only thing not dull about it is the atmosphere in the away end. We've been singing our songs, we've been rubbing the European tour in their faces, and they've had nothing in return. And the only time that the Arthur Waite section of the Palace, the Palace section of the Arthur Waite made any noise is when they scored. Yeah. Suddenly they found their voices. Pathetic, isn't it?
It's just typical. I mean, it's our fault for letting them score on the brink of our time. It's given them a right old boost, and it's going to be a hard second half.
Yeah, true.
But it looks like Wananote and Welbeck to come on at half time, so be interested to see who he takes off.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a penalty shootout at half time. Albion took the first one, and the kid gave it to the Palace fans.
Amazing. He's only 12, but
and he wound them up too.
I'm very proud. Parents have brought him up well.
I'm a little bit scared now, okay? And it's Bobby, 10 years old. Who's your favourite Brighton player? All of them, okay. Are you going to score?
Maybe.
Maybe, okay. Brighton fans, make some noise for 10-year-old Bobby.
Come on, Bobby.
Hello. Oh, no, we don't want to do that, do we?
Come on, Bobby.
Good, Bobby.
Bobby's not confident.
Yeah! He's doing it as well.
Knee slide.
Fuck up
the pitch, go on.
Okay. Right, who are you? I'm Ronnie. Not Ronnie. Okay, you're
Ronnie from London.
I'm from South London.
South London.
I'm a
proper naughty, me. He is actually naughty. Santa is not coming this year. Right, here we go. Yeah, that goalie let that in.
If you were Santa, would you come to Croydon? No.
He's giving it to the Brighton fans. Unbelievable.
Oh, my fucking cunt! Cunt! Oh, my...
You need one more each? All right, who's going to go for Brighton? Okay, off you go. Alex the Eagle, you've got to save this, okay? Off you go.
Yeah, Alice, you've been not pulling your weight at all.
Yeah! Hey!
Right, Thomas, quickly.
He's a real lad, isn't he, this guy? He's the one that took the first one to take the third one. Giving it in the mouth again. Right, Ian, my panic moment was 75 minutes. We're still 1-0 down on 75. I'm going to get angsty. It's now 73 and a half minutes gone. It is still 1-0 to Palace. I think we've had a couple of chances we should have done more with. We're getting there, though, aren't we? We're getting there. And we're in the box. Oh. Oh. Hinch, Joao, a couple of other people tried to get at the ball there. Didn't quite work. Anyway, what do you think? Are we going to get anything out of this game here?
This has got a classic Brighton Crystal Palace 1-1 written all over it.
1-1.
Yeah.
Are they going to let it bounce?
Yeah, it might not bounce, but it will fucking hit the back of the net.
Andy, do you concur?
What?
Has this got 1-1 written all over it because of a typical Palace game?
I'll take 1-1 now.
Yeah. It's not been a great game, has it? Not been a great performance. We've got a better side, sort of, but not really great enough.
Yeah.
One of them. Messy. Yeah. We've been stooped down to their level, haven't we? Yeah.
Yeah. On comes Lallana for Hinchinbrook.
Yeah. Could be interesting, yeah.
Three at the back.
Three at the back, Courtney. And we've equalised!
Yes!
Yes! On the attack again, Dunk with 1-1 now. Well bet with a beautiful header. Right in the top corner.
I thought it was going to go out.
I did.
It just crept in. It sensational. It went just under the crossbar.
Just when things are going flat as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
Another assist for Gross.
Two. Another assist for Gross. Two. Another assist for Gross. And another assist. And another assist. This is our third penalty claim. Two out of two have been nowhere. This one's nowhere. But we got a corner. No, a throw-in, sorry. Deep in enemy territory.
Albion! That'll be Crawley then.
Brighton!
knock him down. Well, we won it legitimately, according to the ref. On the attack still. And we got a free kick. That third, 25 yards out. Where's that prick now? Here we go. Oh. Hoof. 86th minute. We scored, what was it, about 3 minutes ago now?
Yeah.
Thoroughly deserved in terms of they don't deserve to win the game.
No.
But we've not done enough really in this game, have we?
No. It's a classic Brighton performance at Selhurst Park when I'm here.
Yes.
And it's all gone quiet over there. And it's all gone quiet over there. And it's all gone quiet, all gone quiet,
all gone quiet over there. Come on.
Yeah.
Disgraceful decision. The ref's given a foul. We've dispossessed them in their own 6-yard box, and it's wrongly been given as a foul. Outrageous. Modder and Welbeck, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they're taking a free kick from the wrong place as well. The refs are shite. Deserves right. The refs are shite.
Where's all your friends?
Where's your girlfriend? You're taking it off.
Well, I haven't worn them the whole game.
I smell blood here. And this could be it. Lovely layoff from Welbeck to Buonanotte. Speculative ball forwards. Fell to Lallana, who had the shot. Deflected away, and we won a throw-in. No, they've got a throw-in.
Rubbish podcast.
Here we go on the attack again. And we've got 2 minutes left plus stoppages, Ian. Are you feeling better now?
Yes. Well, it's always the same when I come here.
I can smell blood.
It's not me.
Goalkeeper tried to punch it on the edge of his area. It ricocheted off Welbeck and crawled just wide. Oh!
There was about 3 seconds and the ball was just rolling. Bouncing towards the goal. Just went the wrong side.
And it did look like it was going the wrong side, but we weren't sure.
You always do the
fucking 89th minute. Why don't you do it at the fucking start of the game?
That's compulsory.
Time wasting.
Goalkeepers get time wasting yellows in the 89th minute.
Yeah.
It's compulsory.
Yeah. Not when they start time wasting.
No.
They're allowed to time waste for the whole fucking match.
Full time 1-0, Ian. We've ordered the free, but you've still not seen us win at Selhurst.
No. Plenty of 1-0s, 0-0s.
There's been a lot of 1-0s. Come on, all disappointed, but obviously we clutched something out of it.
Thank fuck for that. It's all I can say. Jesus, I thought we were going to lose that.
We can't lose to these scumbags.
Yeah, I know. It's always about 1-1, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's always 1-1.
Of course it did.
Your 6-6 didn't come off then.
No, it didn't. I got the outcome right then.
No, you did. Yeah. No.
And so reconvened for the final leg of our match day. Palace, a 1-1 draw in the end, disappointing. I have now retreated to the Shakespeare near Victoria Station with Peter for a generic pint of ale and a generic pint of neck oil. Pete, what's your take on the game?
Yeah, frustrating. First half I thought it was pretty not really much happened. It was a pretty ordinary game. We gifted them the goal at the end. But second half I thought we were much better. Well enough to made a big difference. Welbeck came on, made a big difference, and we looked much more dangerous and deserved the equaliser. And you know, they were time wasting at the end and they're whistling for the final whistle, and you know, they were dreadful.
Yeah.
Second half we were all over them.
Yeah.
But yeah, disappointing, but a draw is a decent, you know, not a bad result. You know, we haven't got so far ahead of ourselves that we can't be happy enough with a draw, you know, a point away from home in the Premier League still. And
yeah. It
just always happens at Palace, doesn't it?
We were saying just on the train back, it just seems to be an endless supply of draws, including mainly 1-1 draws against them away from home, and there really isn't much to tell between the teams when it comes down to it in the matches. Even
and often the games are so tense that they're kind of a bit like the crowd even is quite tense. And
I was strange. I felt strangely relaxed today. I don't know why. It didn't help. Didn't make a difference. Still got the same kind of result, same kind of match. But I felt a bit more relaxed. But I think that might be what you're talking about. The fact that we've had some great times. We're still on a good trajectory. We've got into Europe into March.
Even if we'd lost, we'd have been 6 points clearer than before after today. So you know, it's not like obviously didn't want to lose. And yeah, hadn't been behind for so long. But yeah, it was the second half. There's only one team who tried to score, wasn't there, really?
And the best part of 40 minutes, we were chasing them. We got the goal. Fantastic header, by the way.
Yeah, a great cross as well.
Yeah. So that was
Pascal again,
Pascal,
moving around,
it?
Yeah.
Again.
Everyone thinks he's going to turn, do the Pascal turn, but he puts a left foot cross in. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
And Danny is about 10, 11 yards out, and he just gets a lot of trajectory on the ball, right into the top corner. And you can see the goalkeeper has a split second moment of not quite thinking, oh, it's not going there, is it? Oh, it is. Shit.
Yeah,
and
the replay is literally perfectly positioned. I mean, the keeper would have. He was a little bit off his line, but he wasn't far off.
No.
And he literally is only this little corner of the goal that he could possibly have got it into. And he did. It was brilliant. Brilliant header. And he played really well, I thought. He and Juan Lotte changed the game. We were poor first half without really looking under pressure. And we controlled the ball a lot of it, and but we didn't really create a lot.
I was going to say, the way it went right in the very, very tiny little, you know, postage stamp point of the goal, that's just how we could see goals through deflections at the Amex, isn't it, quite often? But no, you're right. I think he played well. He mixed it up. He got involved, held it up, ran into the channels, held the ball up in those areas, linked the play, all that stuff that he's always good at doing, Danny Welbeck. And Buonarroti, although he was playing, when he came on at half-time, he was playing effectively on the right side predominantly, which is we've all been discussing is not his favourite position. He did well. He did really well. He's becoming, in football terms, he's becoming the man, isn't he? He's growing up a lot. He's getting more physical. He's getting into the challenges. Courtney said on the way back, you know, he really put his boot in on Mateta at one point. showing his physicality as well now, and that helps his game.
We've said the same happened to Enciso last season. You know, he had a couple of good games early on, but then faded a bit. Like in that Villa game, he came on and looked pretty ordinary, and then came back in April and they worked on him. He was a different player then.
Yeah,
and that obviously scored 4 goals in the rest of the season and did really well. And
and we're coming into a period now where we've got we've got the next game on the 28th, so we've got a whole solid week off here. They could even enjoy Christmas, the players, because they won't have to train on Christmas Day, or at least I assume not. And then after that, we've got West Ham on the 2nd, we've got the cup match on the 6th, where we may play a weakened squad anyway, and then we've got a weekend off. And then when we have got the weekend of fixtures, the weekend after that is actually on the Monday, isn't it, the Wolves game. So we do come into a period now where players can get a bit more rest, a bit more recuperation. We will have the benefit, or hopefully, of something transfer window wise and hopefully some players coming back from injury. We've got 2-3 weeks where not much is happening until, you know, and then we've got Enciso, Estupiñan and Fati are all due back around about February, and Veltman.
If you look at tonight, it was like obviously the 7 players out injured, plus apparently the Derby 7-4 hand, there were like 4 players who couldn't start as well. Welbeck, Modder, obviously for their injuries, and then Alana and Milner because they started at the weekend. So not only did we have 7 players out injured, but we have 4 players who weren't available from the start. And 2 of those, I think at least one of Welbeck, Lallana and Milner would have started ideally in that sort of game, with a bit of experience in that sort of atmosphere. And instead you've got, you know, an 18-year-old playing a right back who's not even a right back, and it's
restricting your options. So how you want to play versus how you have to play based on who's available is severely limited.
The Derby's made some interesting comments tonight, one or two about Baleva, where he's criticised Baleva almost for the goal rather than Verbruggen, and then also one or two question marks about the club about transfer policy.
On the Baleva front, he said he's not a Premier League player yet. You know, he's been playing in the Premier League. I think he's not the finished article, and I think obviously Deserving is staying.
And replacing Caicedo was always going to be putting out on a 19-year-old who'd only played a handful of games in France was always going to be a difficult thing.
It was an unfortunate circumstance. There's nothing we can do about that. Much as we're brilliant at planning, there's no accounting for that. When Caicedo was leaving, we couldn't get someone in sooner. Whoever we wanted to get wasn't available until Baleva came in quite soon before Caicedo left. And it was always going to be a case of a patching over a situation there, wasn't it? Whereas normally we would have succession planning, we couldn't have it on this occasion. Over time, that gap will be filled by Baleva.
I've no question in my mind that he'll become very good value for money and probably go for a lot more than that. He has all the attributes, he's got pace, he's good in the tackle, he's, you know, kind of decent in the air as well. I think he will become the player that we want him to become, but 19, I know Caicedo was only 21 when he left anyway, but at 19, he played like 15 games in France like that, wasn't it? It was to come in and replace our best ever player, arguably, was a big, big ask. And, you know, we can't afford the finished article. We don't buy the finished article, that's the thing. And the finished article in defensive midfield costs a lot of money. It's become almost a new striker, hasn't it? It's a position where people are spending the most money on at the moment.
Well, one of the other major contributors last season, certainly the latter part of the season, was Enciso. He did get injured, and we knew he was going to be out for most of the season, which has proven to be the case. And we signed Fati, which is an amazing signing. But we signed him as a loan. Do you think we should do something similar in the Caicedo position between January and...
Trying to get someone in like that. The problem is, I think they'll target positions. I mean, in essence, he's been quite happy with Gilmore and Gosh in midfield. I do worry a bit open. They need him a really that sort of tackling player. They're more kind of box-to-box or... In Grosch's case, actually attacking midfielder, really, I think he's best at. I thought actually the first half he was one of the bright points. He Mitoma couldn't really beat his man off him, but Grosch kind of like peered all over the place, and he gave him a lot of freedom with that role with Belabor and Gilmore in midfield, and actually I thought that was worked really well in from his point of view. I don't think anyone else really kind of like shone in that half, but I think he did. And
absolutely. When all said and done, we avoided defeat. As Toby, the Palace fan, said, it's about avoiding defeat in these games. Both teams did that again. We'll take that. And that's
especially having gone behind and being behind still in the last 10 minutes as well. You know,
exactly, like, yeah. So this is the final podcast before Christmas. We will do one before the end of the year, either a match day special on the day of the Tottenham game or a review episode thereafter before New Year's Eve. But this is the last one before Christmas, so we wish all our listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So I did that again. A very Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
There we go.
We won't be doing one before the New Year. So.
Yes, exactly.
So screw New Year.
Yeah, screw that. Screw that. We've got other things to attend to. It's been brilliant. We've had a load of good guests, good episodes, and we've really enjoyed ourselves. We're coming up for 4 years, Peter.
Mental, isn't it? It's like, when did that happen?
Yeah. It was just the other side of COVID. COVID hadn't happened when we started, at least not for 2 months. It seems weird that we got through all of that.
Yeah, we're at fault for COVID, really.
Yeah, I mean, I blame you.
I blame you.
Good.
That's your idea.
You just spread the word, yeah. But yeah, coming up for 4 years, really enjoyed it. We had some great guests on. It's been good fun. We have no plans to stop anytime soon, do we?
Well, you know, actually.
Oh, breaking news. No. I bloody hope not.
I'd like to take the opportunity to announce my retirement, yeah.
No, you're not doing that. That's outrageous. So, yes, we'll do one centred around the Spurs game before the year out.
If we could beat Spurs, we got to 30 points at halfway, which is decent.
Yeah, which would be good. 30 from 19 would be very good, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Even if we lose, though, 27 from 19, given the European games and the injuries.
Yeah.
And we've had a very good first half of the season, really.
Yeah.
You'd offer me 27 points at halfway and being top of our European group.
Yeah.
Been very happy with that.
Because that's another round we've gone through in the Europa, isn't it, in essence?
Yeah, especially with all the injuries and all the kind of Asian and African competitions in February. It's really good that we've not got a game in February because we could have a very threadbare squad still that stage, whereas by March, hopefully, we'll have a lot of players back.
Yeah, hopefully so. Peter, been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure chatting to everyone else. Last orders at the bar, ladies and gentlemen. And it's last orders for us. We've got to get out in a minute. So, Peter, it's been a pleasure. Till next time, stand or fall.
Up the Albion. Sports Social Podcast Network.